Now Paul again quotes, this time from Isaiah, in the 27th, 28th verses. And I'm reading now. Isaiah also cried, and it was in anguish over Israel. If the number of the sons of Israel be as the sand of the sea, the remnant only shall be saved. For he, that is the Lord, will execute his word upon the earth, finishing and cutting it short in righteousness. And this is a tremendous quotation that Paul gives from the 10th chapter of Isaiah, verses 22 and 23. Only the remnant of Israel will be saved in the great tribulation period. If you want to see the percentage, there are approximately 15 million of the nation Israel today. In the great tribulation, we know only 144,000 are sealed. That's a pretty small ratio, by the way. Now, I do believe there'll be others saved during that period, but 144,000 will be as witness. It will be a small percentage, but that's the remnant. Always been that way with them. It's always been that way with Gentiles. Now, don't ask me why. It's God that showeth mercy. And the very fact he just saves one reveals the mercy of God, because none of them deserve it. None of us do. Verse 29, and as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we'd been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. Paul quoting here from Isaiah 1:9, this is a startling statement, but it's a fitting climax to the sovereignty of God. Even the elect nation would have been like Sodom and Gomorrah in depravity and rebellion to God if God had not intervened in sovereign mercy and recovered a remnant. What an indictment of proud Phariseeism and proud church membership today. Only God's mercy keeps any of us from going to hell, my beloved. Only God's mercy. Verse 30, now we come here to something that is quite interesting. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. This is a thrilling statement. Gentiles who did not will or run, no willing or working. He found righteousness in Christ because God worked and God willed it. The Old Testament scriptures had prophesied it. You see, Isaiah had said that Gentiles were to be saved. Verse 31, but Israel, pursuing after a law which should give righteousness, did not arrive at such a law. This is a terrifying statement. The Jews tried to produce a righteousness of their own through the Mosaic system. They didn't produce it. Look at the nation today. Religious people are the most difficult people in the world to reach today. Church members are those that think they're good enough to be saved. But, my friend, you'll never be able to reconcile the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. But Paul is making it very clear here that if you're going to be saved, it's your responsibility. It's whosoever will may come, and him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out. You can come. And don't stand on the sidelines and say, I'm not elected. You are in the race, whether you like it or not. But I never heard of anybody being elected who didn't run. You've got to run for the office. If you want to be saved, you're the elect. If you don't, you're not. And that's all I know about it. I can't reconcile it. This happens to be God's universe, and he just didn't let me in on this. But I've come to the place in the sunset of life, I can say today, God is sovereign, and he's going to do this according to his will. And his will is going to be right, and there's no unrighteousness with him. He won't make a mistake. Our government may have made a mistake years ago in this decision, you know, about going into Vietnam. Maybe it was a blunder, and people believed in it. My friend, why don't you believe in God? He doesn't make a mistake. He's righteous. He's good. And he doesn't even ask you to vote for him because he's not running for office. He's already in office. And he's not responsible to anyone but himself. He's not responsible to the electorate. He is only responsible to his own character, and whatever God does is right.